This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Ah. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Meg Ryan. So, Sean McBride is like, I like the bubbles. And then Tina Fey goes, I don't want the bubbles. And then Shai's like, well, I want the bubbles. And she's like, I don't want them. And I was like, that's it. Everybody out of my hot tub now. And I hate that it ended like that.
Hey, welcome to Hollywood Handbook. What up? I'm Hayes Davenport. I'm here with Sean Clements. This is an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. I'm sorry, we're just really excited. This is one of our favorite times of year, and not just because of Christmas presents.
Yeah, I love getting presents and unwrapping them and opening them, and it's very nice that someone thought of you and bought them for you.
But the real reason we're excited, this to me is when Hollywood truly reaches a fever pitch every year, because this is the season of Goldie nods. And Golden Globe nominations to you guys, they were announced this past week. We should probably explain what the Golden Globes are to our listeners who maybe aren't from Los Angeles.
Oh, that's so sad for me to think about. Just not.
But they don't know. But they don't know.
Yeah, they don't know.
There's no way for they to miss it because they don't know what that is.
So that is a little. It's cold comfort because it's so much fun to be part of the Goldie Knots. So what happens in Hollywood town this time of year is there is a big award ceremony that honors the greatest achievements in film and television by different actors and funny men.
No, not the Oscars or the Emmys. We know you know about those. Those two people who actually work in this industry are not considered legitimate rewards for artistic achievement.
They're really a sick fucking joke and a big circle jerk. And the thing about the Emmys and the Oscars is they're not about movies or TVs.
Mm-mm.
Which is really just small movies. Golden Globes is about movies and TVs, and it's about the work. Those award shows are about who's tucking whose wee-wee into whose different other parts behind what closed doors. And it's a big joke.
It's cash under the table. It's who's got the juice. It's
who owes who what favor because who hit whose kid with whose car coming out of which Roosevelt Hotel. And that's a lot of what controls who's winning these awards.
But the Golden Globes,
incorruptible,
are for art and for true cinephiles and for people who really like to watch TV. And one of the things that's so great about the Golden Globes is they don't make the what I consider to be the fatal mistake of the Academy Awards, which is that the Academy Awards don't separate dramas from comedies and musicals.
Yes, fatal mistake, and that's why nobody likes the Oscars and everybody loves the Goldie Nods. Now, they're not perfect. They're not perfect. Mm-hmm. We do have a little game me and Hayes always play when they come out where we talk about Goldie Nods and the three wares. Where was Frozen this year? Where was Admission? And where on earth was Expendables 2? So they do miss some, but there's more hits than misses. And we're going to talk about how much they crushed the comedy noms.
The thing about comedy, it's difficult doing comedy and making comedy like Sean and I do to be appreciated by sophisticated award shows. Like, people tend to think of comedies as just jokes and just, like, not really to be taken seriously as art.
It's not art.
Oh, I like to go to the museum and look at the paintings.
Well, I look at them with my opera glasses.
Heaven forbid that I should ever laugh at a joke about...
Laughing's unseemly.
Eating too many beans and it's making me fart.
But the Golden Globes like to take time every year to recognize comedies and musicals because they're sort of the same. Singing and jokes are all part of the same critical theory. So we want to talk about how much they crushed the best comedies this year. Some of the funniest people involved in them.
Oh, my.
Certainly the biggest laughs we had in a theater this year. The five nominees... for best comedy or musical motion picture. One is Inside Llewyn Davis, which we do want to talk about later.
That's our pick to win it, and we'll talk about why in a moment.
That's a musical because someone sings music in it. But the comedy movies are Her, directed by Spike Jonze, Nebraska, directed by Alexander Payne, Wolf of Wall Street, directed by Martin Scorsese, and American Hustle, directed by David O. Russell.
What crack-ups these directors are. Now, I'd like to start with Nebraska, which I think was even funnier than The Descendants.
Yeah, this is certainly his funniest movie since the Descendants. It's about a man who has to take his dad on a road trip.
Oh, and don't think he's just any old dad. His dad has severe dementia, Alzheimer's. So he frequently, like, he's got this, I don't want to spoil too much, but he's got this, a Publisher's Clearinghouse type thing that he thinks is actually worth $1 million, and he, like, wants it to make his life better.
Yeah. And there's that part where he's like, pull over, son. I have to go number one again. He's always peeing and pooping, and it's a laugh a minute.
The peepees and the laughs I got out of some of the peepees that you see in this movie.
But I actually thought Her was maybe even funnier when he's trying to... Joaquin Phoenix plays a guy who's basically trying to hump this robot.
Oh, gosh. Note to Joaquin, you can't fuck a voice. But he's sure going to try. And
that's what I found so
and he's got this,
endearing about
this
it.
This goofy mustache. Yeah. And he's using it's a little bit of a crutch at this point, but he is using that funny Joaquin voice where he sort of sounds like his tongue is too big for his mouth.
Oh, sure.
And he's going,
I care about you so much. I don't really care about you so much.
And it is like, I mean, cheap laughs, but big laughs.
But in terms of the comedy chops in a movie, I think you can't really beat American Hustle. Just some of comedy's brightest stars. You got Bradley Cooper.
Coop busts my whole shit up.
Uh-huh.
I laughed my friggin' butt off during Limitless, which was snubbed last year. Major snubbage. But it doesn't stop there, because you've also got Christian
Bale.
Cut up Bale.
I saw him at a Bumbershoot a couple years ago doing this set he does where, like, he's just standing on stage, but his set is being piped in. Like, his voice is being piped. It's, like, very Kaufman-esque.
Yes,
and so he's been doing this sort of underground thing for a long time. And congrats to movies for putting this guy on the big screen.
Seeing that he could work in movies, too. Because I remember being at South By, and he's on stage, and I'm standing with Patton. Off in the wings, and Patton goes, I'm supposed to follow this guy?
He's sort of a comedian's comedian. Like, he's the guy who, he may not be getting as much national pub as some of these other guys, but comedians look at him and they're jealous because he's doing shit that they just don't have the courage to go up there and do.
They wish they thought of it. One more comedy to discuss. A true return to form for director Martin Scorsese, who's sort of steered away from comedy after, I think, with Mean Streets, we said he's a one-trick pony.
Mm-hmm.
He only can make us laugh, and he can't make us feel feel, what was he trying to make us feel with some of these other movies? Scared, I guess.
Scared.
And he said, well, let me show him, let me dust off the joke book and show him that I still got some laughs in me.
There's a reason that everyone calls him the king of comedy, and it's because those are his roots. So we could laugh all day thinking about these movies. But
can I say quickly,
mm-hmm.
just as a side note, Golden Globes, near perfect. They did have one category fail.
Mm.
There's one film that was nominated.
Mm-hmm.
In the wrong category.
Mm-hmm.
They made it Best Movies, which is one of the best movies,
mm-hmm, sure.
but they didn't make it Best Comedy Movies.
Mm-hmm.
Am I the only one who saw 12 Years a Slave and thought that Taron Killam should be on SNL, and then I called Lauren and now he is?
But how strange that you would see Taron Killam in a movie and consider that movie to be a drama when clearly it belongs in the comedy category with all the other funny movies.
Maybe they're pranking me at the Goldie Knot office, but I think more likely it's an actual category fail.
But we want to talk about a movie that we really did enjoy, a serious movie, Inside Llewyn Davis. People have sometimes accused us of being a little too critical on this podcast. We want to let everyone know we truly do love movies, and it's so nice to see a movie like this that reminds us what movies is all about.
I didn't want to like it.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't want it because of
Joel.
Because Joel is such a pill.
Yes.
And I'm happy for Ethan.
We can separate Joel's personality from the work that he put on the screen.
Because it's a triumph, and it's clear it's not in the comedy, it's in the musical, because someone's playing music in it.
Someone does sing music in
it. And even just looking at the cover, a man has a guitar case.
Yes, that's true, he does. People have accused us of not seeing this movie, which is so strange to me because of how much we did see it and really...
We saw it in a critic screening.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't more than a minute beyond the opening credits.
Mm-hmm.
That I turned to Lisa Schwarzenbaum of Time and said, ooh, behold the haunting new tune of troubadours Joel and Ethan Coen. She put up her finger to shush me and she was scribbling with a pen. I guess she wasn't really listening. But I thought that was a good observation.
Yeah, I had a very similar reaction. I was sitting with Peter Travers.
From Rolling Stone.
The credits are rolling, and we're both just reeling from seeing the film. And I said to Peter, tell me if you agree with this. The Coens make their own kind of music. And note to the Academy, give John Goodman the Oscar nomination you've owed him for decades. He's magnificent. And he was busy writing stuff down, and so I'm not sure if he was actually paying attention to me, but...
Well, and I thought that some of the people in that screening didn't realize mm-hmm. that this film is the kind of great work that cuts right through the noise, and that it is humbling, tragic, absurd, and revelatory. I mean, when I said that to Manola Dargis of the New York Times, it was like she couldn't even hear what I was saying.
Yes. Let's talk about...
And I watched the movie!
I do want to talk about the music, because some of the music that they were singing was... some of the greatest songs I think I've ever heard, even better than even some of the things on the radio. What was your favorite song from the film?
Of the songs within the film,
mm-hmm.
I remember being so touched and so moved by the third song,
uh-huh.
and the second to last song,
right? The one that is like
plink 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 yes. plink plink plink.
Llewyn Davis, drawing pictures of mountaintops. Llewyn Davis on top, little baby sun. Like that.
Yeah.
That song.
That was the third one. And then mm-hmm. the second to last one was Llewyn Davis, it's 3 a.m. I must be lonely. Oh, sometime. Llewyn Davis, believe me. And I was like, how did they do that? But truly, truly a boldly original, highly emotional journey of one man's efforts to reconcile his life as art, and the film is also a revelatory showcase for Oscar Isaac. And the tech contributions are outstanding on all accounts. So in that sense, that's my pick to win in the comedy category. No matter how funny the laughs were from some of those comedies, they can't touch the tech contributions, which were outstanding on all counts, of Lou and Davis.
We have a very fun, funny guest today. Jake Bagelnest of the Earwolf Network is here. He's going to talk a little about growing up as a child celebrity and where that led him today. Coming up soon on Hollywood Handbook. Whoa.
Hollywood Handbook.
So I turned to Baumbach, and I'm like, that was great. I laughed, I cried, it was amazing. But drop the just Francis Ha.
It's cleaner.
Right?
Yeah.
Here comes Hayes and Sean. Hollywood Handbook.
Hey, what up, what up? Welcome to Hollywood Handbook, an insider's guide to kicking butt and dropping names in the red carpet lineback hallways of this industry we call showbiz. We're so, so grateful today. In this season of blessings, it's important to really be thankful when someone you...
An attitude of gratitude goes a long way in this town. And when people see you appreciating the little things that others do, in this case, giving up some time, which is pretty valuable. That's what our guest has done. He's given us a bit of his time to be on the show.
And we're just so, so happy to welcome Jake Bagelnest on the show today.
I see what you're doing. I see what you're doing. That's cute. I get
well,
it.
We'd play around.
I got it. No, I got it. Know. No, I. You know what? It's as if we need to clarify. It's Jake Bagelnest.
Yeah.
But I do have to say, I love the spirit in which you're sort of beginning this broadcast. I've been finding lately that I will just be writing a tweet. And no matter what the content of the tweet is, I want to end it with hashtag blessed.
Yeah.
Just because that is how I feel right now.
Sure.
I just feel I'm at a place sort of career-wise. And I think that if your career is going well, it does bleed into your personal life.
The rest falls into place.
Like, take care of career and everything else will come together.
Jake, do it. Put that hashtag on.
And I feel blessed, and I just want people to know that.
Jake, put the hashtag on.
I will. I'm not going to hold back.
Do you
anymore.
Put hashtag blessed or hashtag spawn first? Is the question.
I'm still using hashtag Fogel for Spider-Man.
Thank you.
For that, remember that campaign where they wanted Fogelnest to be the new
Spider-Man.
Can
I be honest with you? That was like, I woke up one day and just saw all of these tweets and I was like, what is this? Like, why me?
But then you're like, yeah, if they want it.
Look, when something like that happens on social media and it's just like a fun thing, embrace it. Just embrace it.
Yeah.
But it is, I think... sort of unethical, actually, that Marvel has never had a 30-something Spider-Man.
I don't want... It's a big franchise. I don't want to be disrespectful to Marvel. Can you imagine what it takes, the labyrinth that it takes to put together a Spider-Man movie? Just all the moving parts.
I think I've got some idea.
Yeah, you guys know. People don't think about... the moving parts
they
that
think
it takes.
Just happens.
They think it just happens. Turn, it's like, no.
You point a camera, it's a Spider-Man suit.
Yeah.
Not exactly.
Yeah. A little thing called CGI, and then there's above the line and below the line. And thank you very much. That's just how movies are made. Okay? So I get it. I get it. I'm not, you know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, on a personal level, yeah, it hurts. It hurts.
But you, it's hard for you especially to understand because you've been in it for so long.
Yeah.
And that's part of the blessings you're getting. No, it's because you have given so much. It's just, this has been your whole life.
One of these people who grew up in the biz.
Yeah.
Grew up on screen right in front of us.
I was born into it. I don't know any other way. You know what I mean? I live, breathe, eat. I eat Hollywood for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
That's right. Sean and I don't really, like, our background, our parents were farmers. Mm-hmm. It's like, we never really wanted this.
Salt of the earth. And
yeah.
It just mm-hmm. was thrust upon us.
It's a great story.
We weren't really given a choice.
You guys are a great story. It's like, it's really the, like the Hollywood dream. I see mm-hmm. it within you guys. I was practically, born at,
Schwab's
at the Hollywood
Pharmacy.
Center. Yeah, Schwab's Pharmacy, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Because we'll talk about your upbringing, your parents, and what they did, and how that sort of led you to your career.
Robert Evans was a powerful movie producer in the, he's an actor originally.
Yep.
And then he became a producer and then the head of Paramount Pictures.
Kid Notorious.
Yeah, ultimately Kid Notorious. Thank you very much. Which I was a great tribute to my dad. To my dad.
Yeah.
Robert Evans, he's my dad. And I changed my name to Fogelnest for show business reasons.
That's right.
You know what I mean? Because I don't want to, if I was just simply Jake Evans, first of all, he's got another son named Jake. So there's, Dicey. You know what I mean? I don't want to get confused. And you need just a show business name to pop. Mm-hmm, so yeah. I changed it. But I grew up,
And then you're
Hollywood royalty.
Your mother was Brandon Tartikoff.
Yes. My mother was Brandon Tartikoff. Who ran NBC mm-hmm. for many, many years. Brandon Tartikoff almost canceled Saturday Night Live. And that happened in 1986 when Lorne Michaels came back. And it doesn't get really talked about, but the reason that Brandon Tartikoff almost canceled Saturday Night Live is because I said, Mommy, this isn't good anymore.
Yeah.
What the fuck are you doing, Mommy?
Yeah.
And Brandon took that very seriously. Ultimately, Brandon was a smart executive and knew that Lorne just needed more time, and needed to, find his footing and really get in there and produce SNL again.
Yeah, and I think he's almost there.
I think he's almost mm-hmm. got it. I think he's almost got it. I think it's
he's on the right track.
He's on the right track.
But you went from there being born into this, and anyone who's seen The Kid's Kid Stays in the Picture, this is an old story for them, your biopic. You went from there into basically becoming a star at a very young age.
Yeah, no, I mean, if you're a young, attractive, mm-hmm. Child in this business.
Triple threat.
A triple threat, yeah. If you're young, attractive, and a child, all three, the Disney route is like the gold standard. It's mm-hmm. like follow the yellow brick road to Mickey and Minnie.
Yes.
And that's what I did, And, I just had this sort of, it's a path that I didn't necessarily carve out for myself. It was just already carved, It
right.
was just right there. It was just like, what are you going to do? Not walk down that road? So I did. And, I got involved at...
I'm always so envious of that because Hayes and I have been out there in the wilderness cutting through the brush with a machete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Sort of making our
making
own...
Making the path.
Yeah, no, and I get that.
And then I see guys who are just cruising.
Just, yeah, mm-hmm. blazed right on
just
through.
Just sort of on a bobsled, heading for superstardom.
Actually, it's like while you guys were, just in the trenches, mm-hmm. it's just like, because Hollywood, making your way through Hollywood is a lot like being in the shit in Vietnam, And,
very close.
Yeah.
Yes.
When you guys were just sort of, you're in there with like a machine gun.
Maybe braver than Vietnam because you have to choose.
I assume
that's
what you meant.
You choose this. Some of the Vietnam guys didn't even want to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They didn't want to go. You can't get drafted into Hollywood dreams. You
right.
know what I mean? So, you guys were really in the shit with that stuff. And I just, I'm on a golf cart. Just, it was, my path was chosen for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So you did Mickey Mouse Club.
Yeah, Mickey Mouse Club. I guess that was sort of, obviously there's a rich tradition of the Mickey Mouse Club. I wasn't on there with Annette Funicello and all those guys. Although I did Punch Up. It was my first job as a writer. I did Punch Up. I was 7 or 8 years old. I did Punch Up on a movie called Back to the Beach.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember that movie?
Yes.
Yeah.
I love this story.
Yeah. And what it was so funny. Frankie Avalon and my mom, Brandon Tartikoff, were having a meeting because Brandon was like, maybe we should do like a Frankie and Annette sitcoms, sort of like, honestly, what he wanted to do was, there was a little bit of a dip in the ratings of The Cosby Show. I know it's hard to believe at this point, but it was like Lisa Bonet had just left, and that that drove a lot of audience, you know, the, drove a lot of the audience away, because people tuned in to The Cosby Show because they were real Bonet maniacs. So he had this idea. Yeah, they were called, they were the bone, the original Boneheads. So Brandon, my mom, had this wonderful idea. What if Claire and Cliff, what if they just, you know, embezzled a bunch of money from the hospital that, that Cliff worked at and just split and just left, you know, all the Cosby kid, Rudy and Theo, and like, and where's mom and dad? And Brandon wanted to bring in Frankie Avalon and Annette Funicello to be the new Claire and Cliff. Like, they're just Frankie and Annette. How are these kids going to deal with it? Ultimately, it didn't work out, but Frankie was over at the house, and they were telling me about this movie, Back to the Beach, and I just said, you know what? I have some ideas for it, and I just I just punched it up. Almost like it was like a Apple IIGS or something. Remember those old computers?
Yeah, sure.
There was no final draft on that. Let me tell you.
So I did
punch up, and then, you know,
the humongous cowabunga from Down Under.
Thank you. That was me. Yeah, it was me.
Humongous. But it's an unappreciated element of being a child star in the Disney system that was sort of exploitative, where they would have you guys do this punch up for network pilot, and you didn't know any different.
Like, I don't know. Yeah, no, I just thought that's how it is. You know, it was just
part of the job.
But
they'd bring you into this back room and kind of lock the door and say, "Hey, give you some candy if you do punch up on this."
There's a horrible story about Britney Spears. I'm sorry, I was thinking about this. Britney Spears had to write. She just wanted to sing and dance. She's, you know what I mean? She's an entertainer. And they put her in a room with fucking Jerry Stahl and made her write 3 episodes of ALF. She didn't know what she was doing. Ultimately, she won an Emmy. So it was nice. You know what I mean? She won.
And that's
bullshit anyway.
Yeah.
I think that's what drove Jerry Stahl
to heroin.
down that spiral, knowing that it was really Britney Spears who had written her best stuff.
Yeah. And it was just, it's just awful. It was, you know, it's not all glitz and glamour. People really think that it is, but no. We were forced to do punch up on shows. We just wanted to sing and dance and entertain, and it's like, we don't want to be, I mean, taking a child at a vulnerable age and making them a faceless scribe. No offense to you guys. You know what I mean? Making them a faceless scribe. Brutal.
How would that
offend scale?
Me?
For scale.
And
too.
Because
that's
you don't
the
know.
Other thing.
Yeah.
Why would that offend me? Why would that offend me?
No, I just know that you have a lot of friends that are, you know, writers and stuff. I don't wanna
I'd be offended on their behalf.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do you keep up with those Brittany and Christina and Gosling and Timberlake and Steve Merchant and those people?
Yeah. Justin Timberlake. I saw recently. He invited me to a screening of some art film he's in. I saw something. I don't know what he's about right now. He's just like, you know, oh, it's a little art film. It's like, dude, just sing and dance. Mm-hmm. Just sing and dance. Stephen Merchant, I see all the time.
Yeah.
And you know, it's so funny because he was always the tallest in the Mickey Mouse Club, even back then. He's very, very tall.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like we used to call him Stretch.
Oh no.
That's wicked.
Hey, Stretch.
That is twisted.
And he was like this sort of mild mannered British kid.
I'm so happy for his success now.
Yeah. I'm so happy for him. He's got a little cable show, and he's doing great.
And you all sort of went your separate ways. Carmelo Anthony became a basketball star.
Yeah. Which we all saw coming. You know, he just liked to play.
Dov Charney.
That was amazing. Because what people don't remember about Dov Charney on the Mickey Mouse Club is how funny he was.
Yeah.
You know, he just had an amazing sense of comic timing with adults. Like, you know, like, because kids and kids being funny together, but that's easy. You know what I mean? Kids know each other's rhythm. But Dov Charney, if you can find it on YouTube, Dov Charney, there is footage of him at 7 years old, and he is with Don Rickles, and he's just, I'll just say this, he makes Don Rickles look like an amateur.
Yeah.
And cracking up Don Rickles and be like, I can't believe this kid.
But you read now about him like fingering his employees and stuff.
That's a classic Dov, yeah.
Yeah, it's that's one of his jokes.
Just one of his, yeah. Oh my God. When he was, and you know what, I get it. It's like when he was a little kid and he would do that, it was like, oh, what are you doing and stuff. He's sort of, you just got to know Dov to understand that.
And then Amy Fisher, right?
That's a sad story.
Because she just wasn't very funny.
No, she was talentless.
They put her on the show because she had gotten famous in the whole.
Yeah, she was
Joey
a little, she
thing.
Was old. It was a weird choice.
Wasn't a great fit.
It wasn't a great fit. People don't remember that she attempted to murder a woman.
Yeah.
Shot Joey Buttafuoco's, what, Mary Buttafuoco shot her in the face.
Yeah.
And that was a misstep for Disney at that point. And it was like,
people,
she's too old.
People were talking about her, so they thought parlay this into.
Could
not dance.
I'm a big believer in following the buzz.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe in buzz.
Sure.
You know, as you can see, buzz that does not kill me only makes me stronger. You see that tattooed right there.
Inside of your forearm.
Yeah, inside of my forearm. Buzz that does not kill me only makes me stronger. So I believe in the power of buzz. But you have to have talent to back it up.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, Amy Fisher had two left feet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she was exposed on that show.
Yeah. You know what? It just wasn't right for her. Maybe there was another vehicle.
I think she'd be a big YouTube star nowadays.
Oh, my God. Like a beauty guru
today,
or one of those things?
Yes. Yeah. All you need is a friggin' GoPro and a library subscription.
There's no pageantry in that.
Goddamn magazine subscription.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know how they do you get some sort of, you have like a USB stick or something.
I don't mess around with that stuff. It'll come and go.
But you...
Skype is a fad. I don't care.
Careful.
They're one of our...
Oh, yeah. I'm so sorry.
We'll take care of it.
Yeah, just cut that out.
But you and Andrew T. left the group and joined the Earwolf family.
Yeah, me and Andrew T. from the Yo, Is This Racist podcast.
Yeah.
You know, we sort of broke out of Disney and... it was like the early Britney started to take off with her thing, and Justin started to take off with her thing, and me and Andrew were just sort of like, we want to be pop stars. Admittedly, we were trying to be too like underground and too indie, so we got involved with Earwolf.
It became a different kind.
It became like a different, different kind of a pop phenomenon. We just, I just didn't. You got to grow up at a certain point, and I've seen the things that. Christina Aguilera has done. I've seen the things that Bob Balaban has done. Just all the Disney kids, and I just go, oh, it's just sort of more of the same. Like, just, you know, at a certain point, be an adult, grow up, take the training wheels off.
Quit playing dress up and quit doing your teapot song.
Yeah,
and actually strap on a pair of headphones and blow minds.
Yeah, make some mm-hmm. art. Make some art.
Make some true art. And that's what you've been doing lately. Now, you recently you got called in for a sit-down with sort of the next wave of young stardom.
Yeah.
Grumpy Cat.
Yeah, Grumpy Cat. You know, this was really fun. It was just fun. I'm very active on social media.
Mm-hmm.
To be honest with you, I write a couple of the tweets myself.
Yeah.
Most of the I have some other people that write the tweets for me. You know, there's a whole
When you've established a clear character like
exactly. Yeah.
That's the creative part of it.
Yeah.
Anyone can then plug in dialogue.
Yeah, so I have a couple of these, you know, these guys, they have funny Twitter names or whatever. You get like your dog at dog boner or whatever, at piss Hitler 69. You know, just they're Twitter normos or whatever.
Yeah.
And they write some of the jokes for me. But I happen to be on Twitter myself, and I get a tweet from Grumpy Cat. And Grumpy Cat says to me, hey, why don't you – I'm a fan. Mm-hmm. I'm an admirer. I would love to meet you. Now, this is a big deal for me because – Grumpy Cat is hot right now.
Mm-hmm. But it's good to know that he's looking ahead to, like, he wants the kind of longevity that you've
had. He's looking for a mentor.
Some of these young stars know their history.
Yeah. That's what it was. Yeah, that's what it was. And that's what impressed me, is that Grumpy Cat, would reach out and go, look, I don't want to make some of the same mistakes that I've seen some of these other, you know, kids make. I don't want to fall. You know, I got a good thing going right here. How do I stay on the course? So anyway, so I get this tweet and it says, will you meet me at a comic book store, Meltdown Comics in Los Angeles, Monday night, 7 p.m. Now, I say, absolutely.
I love comics.
That's the thing. I was like, what a fun, funky event.
Yeah.
What a fun, funky event.
I don't care how it's weird and nerdy or whatever. Then call me a nerd.
Yeah, I guess I'm a big nerd then. Yeah. I guess I'm a big nerd.
Guys, like, I mean, Frank Miller, I think, is like one of the all-time art geniuses.
And also at this point, when guys like us are reading these things and just loving the worlds they create, it's like, okay, well, maybe I'm a nerd, but I got an awful lot of money and pussy for a nerd.
Yeah, thank you very much. Yeah, would a nerd be fucking this? No. No, it wouldn't.
And for home listeners, Jake's pointing at a really hot piece of ass.
Yeah, just a really... You can just... Thank you for... No, you're sweet. Just go out on the couch. Do you have like a... You have like an iPad she can play with? Do you have like an? Can I use one of your iPads? She didn't have.
We've got like a Windows tablet.
Okay, great. It's like, sweetie, it's a Surface. It's the same thing. I don't know how to fucking work it. It's the same fucking. I'll be out. I'm sorry. Sorry. She's
no problem.
So sweet. She is so sweet. Anyway, fucking comics are cool. All right. Maybe being a nerd is the new cool. That's all I know.
Sure.
That's all I know. So anyway, so the cat wants to meet at a comic book store, and I think that's funky. I think that's just a funky event because it's like, well, you know, people are going to show up. We're talking about this on social media. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So I don't call ahead to Meltdown Comics or whatever, but they know. They're prepared, and they got like security and stuff, and there's already a mob of people waiting. And then it gets to be like, you know, I'm supposed to meet this cat at like 7 o'clock, 7:01, no cat, no grumpy cat. Hmm. So I get right on Twitter. I'm like, hey, grumpy cat, it is 7:01 PM. Where are you? It says, cat tweets me back, 1 minute away, traffic. I understand. It's hard to get around.
New to this city.
Cat walks in. We have this great meeting. It was just one of those great Hollywood moments. It was really just one of those great Hollywood moments.
A passing of the torch.
Passing of the torch. And it was great. I had a nice chat with Grumpy Cat's manager, who's in an interesting world. He's in an interesting world. Manages Grumpy Cat, manages Keyboard Cat.
That's a unique space.
Yeah, unique space, yeah. Manages the
Nyan
Cat, which is interesting because it's a GIF. You know, so there's a lot of money to be made there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're just talking about just different ways that we could work together. Yeah. They sent me the script for this Grumpy Cat movie. And honestly, they went a completely different way with it. I would think, let's do a lighthearted sort of family thing. It's touched upon in the movie Goodfellas, the Lufthansa heist. Lufthansa. I'm not pronouncing it right. I'm sorry. I'm not Italian. Okay. But they touch upon it in Goodfellas. But that was a real heist.
Mm.
It was a real heist. And what they're, you know, I guess Grumpy Cat, and we'll talk about this, wants to do dramatic work. And is this 70s heist film, which David O. Russell is attached to. And look, I ultimately, again, a lot of moving parts to get a movie made. I don't know that it's going to happen. But I would go with the family.
These young guys, they want to shed that skin as soon as possible.
Right, and I relate to that, yeah.
Like America's sweetheart or whatever. They want to be taken seriously as actors.
They want to put some edge on, yeah.
Right.
I just, you know, that's one of the projects that that Grumpy Cat's got going on. There's talk of this, of some sort of Lars von Trier collaboration.
Mm-hmm.
And I get it, but it's like, I want to sit down with Grumpy Cat and be like, hey, what are you fucking allergic to money? Like you want to go to the Cannes Film Festival? Just go to the Cannes Film Festival. You got money.
The
you
thing know what I mean? I say to these kids, they want to do the Lars von Trier thing and like really push the envelope or whatever. I mean, my message to them is once the Bing Bong comes out, you can't put it back in.
Thank you.
You know what I mean? Especially
I mean,
in this day and age of Instagram. And
I get it. I did it. I mean, the movie I made in 1999 with Harmony Korine, where I just, It was just me fucking Santa Claus, you know? It was just me, it was not obvious. And it was amazing to work with Jack Palance. Yeah. He's a legend.
Yeah.
But ultimately, I got wrapped up in Harmony's weird thing. It didn't buy me any credibility or do me any favor.
And what I would say to Grumpy Cat and some of these other young guns.
Yeah.
Make sure you know the rules before you try to break the rules.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You know, do a cookie cutter holiday film first.
Yeah.
Or something like that. We know you're grumpy. but also, let's have a couple laughs. And then, go do your bloodbath movie.
Look, you look at The Sandman, okay? And The Sandman, he did Billy Madison.
Yeah.
He did Happy Gilmore.
For a second, I thought you were talking about the Sandman comics because I'm saying
that is. So, I can't believe you know that. That
like
is one of the coolest.
Channeling something.
What they can't make that movie, man.
What
it
an
would be
amazing
so good.
Dream.
I'm sorry to interrupt.
What a dream world.
I'm sorry to interrupt. God, I mean, talk about Sandler, but just that.
Neil Gaiman creates a dream world, and
he truly, truly does.
He's there's just some people who are just artists, and it's like I don't even know what you're doing, but I love that you're doing it.
Yep.
Sandler did Happy Gilmore, Billy Madison, those movies. And then he goes and fucks off and does the Paul Thomas Anderson thing, Punch Drunk Love. He'd earned it at that point.
He'd gotten his money.
He'd earned it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, forget the money. He showed everyone what he could do before he went out and, sort of broke the mold. You got to make the mold before you break the mold.
The Dice Man, he waited until he was in his 60s to do his to do his Woody movie this year.
I had an interesting experience on the set of Ford Fairlane.
Mm-hmm.
I was in the movie, and originally the character of Ford Fairlane, Dice's character, he had a son.
Mm-hmm.
He had a son, and I was sort of like, it was fun because I was a little kid and I was using some of the same language and the same mannerisms as Dice.
Yes.
So I was about 10 years old, and I'm just like, oh,
yeah. But in a much higher pitch.
Yeah, I was like, oh, which made it cuter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Ha!
It's just, when you have a little kid that's, emulating the behavior of adults, it's funny.
I really enjoyed that moment, and you're very modest about it, but when you're smoking that cigarette, but then you chew it and blow a bubble with it.
Thank you. Yeah. That was fun. That was improvised.
I just never really seen that before.
That was improvised.
Yeah, you could tell.
That experience was really great because I got to bond with Dice, and I actually sort of tried my hand at stand-up. I tried my hand. I was just doing
You did a little more than that.
Come on, it was only like 3,000-seat venues or whatever. It wasn't on the level of the Dice Man. It was just, Dice Man would be at Madison Square Garden, I'd be at the, Felt Forum, the theater at Madison Square Garden.
Okay.
But I was wearing my heroes on my sleeve too much, and I don't think that it is... when you see a 12-year-old kid in a red leather suit, and it's just like, hey, delirious much? I was just wearing my influences on my
You sleeve. Running around, like, mispronouncing the N-word in kind of a cute way.
Yeah, just, there are certain things I look back on in my childhood, and I'm just embarrassed by.
Sure.
I'm just like, that is...
But at the time, it was, I don't know if it's held up.
No, it doesn't hold up. I'm not... too proud to admit that stuff does not.
It was of the times, and we were having fun.
Yeah.
But I would say that's in the past. You've moved on from that.
Yeah.
And you've got something. You're here. You have a CBS sitcom coming out next fall, The Fogey's Nest.
The Fogey's Nest,
it's three elderly victims of the recent man session.
Yeah.
Get a condo together get really into...
We start a revenge porn business.
Thank you, yes.
Yeah, we start a revenge porn business, which is...
the best way to chip away.
Yeah. It's a big man session. Mm-hmm. These guys are, they're older guys. We all end up together. I was working at a startup, that just, startup more like shut down. It was like, that's one of the jokes in the pilot. And thank you. My startup goes belly up. These guys were all, you know, corporate guys, yeah. You know, General Electric, Halliburton. You know, they had careers and stuff, but, you know, they were either forced into retirement because they got too old or just – Women took their jobs. So,
yeah.
So we get together and we start a revenge porn business, mm-hmm. which is called – it's showthatbitch.com.
Yeah.
And what it is like if you are, you know, slighted, if you're a guy and stuff, maybe you took some sexy photos of your girlfriend.
Sure.
Maybe you didn't. Maybe it's just – maybe it's a girl you go to high school with and you hack her email and she – you know what I mean? We don't care how we get the photos because honestly, it's user submitted. We're not legally liable for anything. We start this revenge porn business and it takes off. It just becomes like the biggest thing.
It's really satisfying that you're not really sure whether or not it's going to go.
Yeah.
And then when it does blow up, it's really fun because it is
true.
Yeah,
they get that one picture that just breaks it wide open.
Yeah.
And it's such a great idea for a show because you're tying it in with your actual revenge porn site.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I started that thing as a hobby. You know, I'm sort of like Ashton Kutcher in that way. I love technology and I love brainstorming. I just like there's nothing better.
And you're a shutterbug.
And I'm a shutterbug.
Tech is the next. It's what's next.
Yeah.
Like it really is.
Tech
is right around the corner. You can hear the little footsteps. It is coming.
And it's
in a big, big way.
I agree.
Majorly.
It's going to change a lot of stuff.
And it's on its way to doing that.
I love gadgets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So cool.
It's just like, all right, again, a lot of people think, you call me a nerd, but when like a new Sonos system comes out, I got to have it right away. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or the new iPhone or whatever. I just, you know, and thankfully I'm in a position because I'm not going to wait on the line with all those, you know, people and stuff. Thankfully I'm in a position where usually they just send me it, you know,
Sure.
So I love gadgetry and I love brainstorming and I love a webinar and I love, you know, just getting in there and just sort of like thinking outside of the box with some of these great tech minds.
Yes.
And, you know, so as a hobby, I had a couple of guys. I said, listen, this. What if there's a website where a guy and like just like a – because we all get there. We're all angry. What if there's a website where a guy can, I don't know, upload a photo of some dummy that he, tricked?
Yeah.
You know?
And I appreciate you fighting back a little bit because you see it in your show, but it is really true. I'm seeing Ellen Barkin a little bit every now and then, and sometimes she'll stay over and now come downstairs and she'll be like, where's my breakfast?
Right.
And I just kind of look. If there was a camera there, I'd look right at it and just be like, what is, like, is the world, like, gone completely crazy?
Yeah.
Like, this is upside down.
I didn't know you were dating Ellen Barkin. I used to see her.
Yeah, she talked about you. Yeah.
That's interesting.
She's a nice woman,
she's
but it's
very
not,
nice.
And
yeah.
It's not just her. It's
right.
Like her.
At first, she's nice.
Yeah.
People have told me that I'm enjoying. You know, we're just having fun. Honestly, like
keep it light.
We're having a good time. She would say the same thing. It's not just serious. Me.
It's
yes.
just you're just like
we're just having a good time right now.
She starts out nice.
It turns after a while. It turns.
Again,
it's your life.
Have fun.
Enjoy it. Well, yeah.
But it's true. Then they're going to jobs, and they're
what it is there's something satisfying for, I think for the end user of the website
mm-hmm.
when they put up a photograph of some girl that they were with and you know she's in a state of undress.
Mm-hmm.
There's something so satisfying for the end user.
Yes.
The website, if they know, oh my God, that photo is her boss is going to see it,
mm-hmm.
her
mm-hmm.
parents are going to see it, her friends, her family, everyone, she's going to be embarrassed.
And she deserves it because she committed a sexual act.
Yes.
Remember that.
Yes, thank you. For the end user, that is an invaluable experience. How do you put a price on that? How do you put a price on it?
But you have managed.
I've managed, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, it's so great when it's just a little hobby. I mean, that thing is, you know, making me – I'll tell you this. I'm making more off of the actual revenge porn site than I am off of the show.
Isn't that amazing?
And that should tell you everything about the state of our industry today.
It's like how with Glee they had the...
Yeah, they make more of the concerts.
They sell the songs and the concerts. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you have your songs in your porn site.
It's unbelievable. Every day, I feel blessed.
We do want to reach into the popcorn gallery just for...
Sure.
Just for a minute. We have some user-submitted questions for you.
Okay.
Let's reach deep inside this bag of popcorn.
Oh, I ripped the bottom of the bag. The popcorn's falling out.
It's like Michael Winslow. Yeah, good stuff.
This is a question. We did speak on this a little bit earlier that you are part of the Earwolf family with us.
Yeah.
This is a question from Hagplant Parmesialix.
Mm-hmm.
And that question is, Jake, what do you think your part is in the third wave podcast movement, and how do you deal with the internal Earwolf politics? I know you have a lot of thoughts on this.
It's really interesting. First of all, I don't think third wave podcasting gets talked about a lot. And I'm always
speak on that.
Yeah, I'm always happy to just because you had the
CB.
Yeah, the first wave podcasting, which was essentially Citizens Band Radio, mm-hmm. which was charming. It was charming,
sure.
And it was the first ways that we realized, oh, anybody can communicate with anybody
mm-hmm.
over the open airwaves.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember being enamored with that when I was a kid.
And being into like trucker comedy.
Like everybody had their trucker name.
Yep.
Wheeze. Flogger.
Sure.
Donnie Dave. Boat Show. Just mm-hmm. cool trucker names. Everybody had one.
Mm-hmm. Mine was Big Jacket.
Big Jacket, because you always had the big jacket,
yeah,
right?
That was part of it.
Yeah.
Mine was Jake Bagelnuts.
Jake Bagelnuts, yeah.
Yeah, it was Jake Bagelnuts.
That's a moving tribute.
I'm giving myself away as a fan.
Thank you. I thank you for that.
But I was Jake Bagelnuts.
Anyway, that was sort of, so that's first wave podcasting.
Okay.
Second wave podcasting, the tech boom. You know what I mean? Your guys like Adam Curry, the original troll, the original patent troll.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, I was on MTV. These guys don't own MTV.com. I'm going to buy that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, which is great. He's a troll. I love it. I love trolling. I love online troll culture. I love it.
It's really fun.
It's fun. So guys like doing that, and that's just a bunch of, tech guys talking to other tech guys, it's all podcasts about podcasts and mm-hmm. stuff, like, hey, how do we get this out to people? How does this work? Beep, boop, boop, boop. I'm a nerd, like real nerd stuff,
yes.
Not like cool nerd stuff. Like we were talking about like comic books and
not like Rage comics and like the cool,
not cool internet.
Yeah.
Like F you,
yeah.
All those things. Yeah.
They probably don't know about that.
They don't. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's underground internet humor and stuff. It's like it's fun and cool. Anyway, but then what happened is on the backs of those true nerds, podcasting became like a thing.
Yeah.
And third wave podcasting is where you got 7 or 8 of the best alternative comedians,
mm-hmm.
and they just go on each other's podcasts. Just like hey Kumail, it's me Doug Benson. Come on my show. Hey, Doug Benson, it's Kumail. Come on my show. Hey, it's Scott Aukerman. What are you doing today, Paul F. Tompkins? Come on my show. Hey, it's Paul F. Tompkins. What are you doing today, Larry the Cable Guy? Come on my show. Hey, Larry the Cable. It's just like
mm-hmm.
it's. And I, with my background, who my dad is. I was able to muscle my way in and say, hey, you guys want this thing to take off?
Yeah.
This little nebulous that you have,
mm-hmm.
it's real cute. Some dudes on the AV club or whatever, they know about it. You want to bring some real heat, bring some real attention to it. You need to bring in somebody in the Hollywood mainstream.
Yes.
And they, we all got together at Adam Carolla's house. And Adam was like, he's right. He's right. I know it's a little bit of an impression. He's right. We need somebody to take this to the next level. That's Matt Besser. He then jumped in and said, we need someone to take this to the next level. And Marin agreed. And it was just sort of,
What did he sound like?
He was just like, he was like, unlock the gates. We got to get, we should get Fogle Nest in here to take this to the next level.
Okay.
Yeah. And it was just sort of, and then there you have it. Third wave podcasting was born. What's my role in it? Den mother.
Mm-hmm.
Gatekeeper. Patton Oswalt talks about the gatekeepers. And, there aren't any anymore. It's like we're in this, it's all a democracy and stuff. Everybody can put anything online.
It is true. So, yeah. Anyone can be successful whenever they want.
Anybody. Now. Yes. Mm-hmm. Anybody, can be, you know, but there are secret gatekeepers. You know, I think, you know, we know that there are secret gatekeepers, and I'm proud to be one of the secret gatekeepers.
And Patton doesn't know about him because we don't want him to know.
Yeah, we don't want him
to
know.
We want him thinking that we don't exist.
Yeah. The gates are all open.
Yeah, Patton, the gates are all open.
Should be safe for me to walk in here.
Yeah, go right over there and oh, put
a little more.
Put your
just
special
a little
outfit.
More.
Pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, Patton.
Yeah. No, but seriously, you know,
no, it's coming.
Put your specials out for $5. Go have fun. Do it. $5. How about this? $10. How about that? They're not even thinking that far ahead.
It's not time yet.
Not time.
Well,
Jake, this has been very enlightening.
What a conversation from a real lifer in the business.
And
we just appreciate it so much.
I feel blessed. You know, I wake up every morning and I just feel, hold on one second. Did you break it? Did you break, you guys, I'm sorry. I don't know what. She poured like coffee.
It's fine. I've got a box of them.
You got okay? Because mm-hmm. I'm happy to get you another one. I'll just get you guys a couple of Microsoft Surfaces. Fucking spilled coffee all over it. It's fucking. I'm embarrassed. She knows she's hot. That's all.
No,
that
I think she. She took a sip of the coffee thinking it was cold. Yeah. I was watching.
Oh, you
she
saw
thought it,
it
was
yeah.
cold.
Yeah.
And then she spit it out. She was scared.
Yeah. She should be scared.
I
have fun.
Thanks.
A lot of fun, dude.
So thanks so much for coming by, Jake. And
yeah.
And it's been great. Guys, rate us on iTunes. Like us on Facebook. Please do buy the pro version. The pro version purchaser last week was Hug Life. And he's going to get a special gift from Jake Fogleness right now.
It's
sitting right out there. Yeah.
It's
I'm just kidding, you guys. I'm kidding around.
Thank you. But it is Jake is going to give you your new CB radio name.
Yeah.
So he's going to lay that on you, Hug Life.
Should I do it right now?
Please.
Hug Life. Your new CB radio name is Dr. Podcast.
Dr. Podcast. So that's a great prize. So buy the pro version, rate us on iTunes, like us on Facebook, comment in the forums, and keep doing what you're doing, friends.
Bye.
This has been an Earwolf Media production. Executive producers Jeff Ulrich and Scott Aukerman. For more information, visit earwolf.com.
Earwolf Radio, boom.com. The wolf dead.
That was a HeadGum podcast.